The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the second chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. One of my favorite books as a child was called Are You My Mother? For those who don't know it, or for those for whom it may have been a while since you've read it, the story is about a little bird whose mother goes off to get him food because the egg starts bouncing in the nest and she knows that it's about time for him to hatch. So while the mother bird is away, the baby bird hatches and decides to wander out on his own to find her. By the end of the book, much to the reader's and the little bird's joy and relief, mother and little bird are united. Then, as I grew up and I had children of my own, I read this book to them and found I had a different response than I had as a kid. As a kid, I saw this little bird as being on a great adventure, meeting some interesting characters, both living and mechanical. But as a mom, I thought about the mother bird, the anxiety associated with a child wandering off. The irony in the story is that the mother bird never realized her baby bird had left the nest. But that didn't keep me from thinking about how upsetting it would be for that mother bird to have lost her baby. And to think about what would have happened if that big digger at the end hadn't put the baby bird right back in the nest where it belonged. And on Christmas Eve, I shared stories with a few people after church about one of my twins who was a wanderer as a toddler and a preschooler. There are memories that still make me shudder a little because I know what could have gone wrong but didn't. There's a strange mix of joy that all was okay, and a lingering anxiety about what could have been. And I expect that I'm not the alone in having memories like these. When reading these chapters in Luke, this mix of anxiety and joy get relived. We can all recognize how terrifying it would be to be traveling away from home, making a pilgrimage with many people, and losing track of a child. In this case, Mary and Joseph were separated from Jesus for days. Mary's response when she finds him is what we'd expect, right? "What's wrong with you? Where have you been? You have scared your father and I to death. Why would you do this?" And after raising a couple of boys of my own, I can also completely see a 12-year-old Jesus making the decision that he belonged in the temple and just going there without even thinking about informing his parents, assured of his own ability to take care of himself and make his way home when he was ready. It was not an intentional decision to worry his parents or anyone else, just a teenage focus on doing what he had set his mind to. In this story, we see so clearly both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus. We learn about Jesus as the Christ as he teaches and talks and learns in the temple, but also about Jesus, a preteen, wandering away from his parents. Christmas is a season where we are especially called to spend some time really contemplating and reflecting on what it means for Jesus to be both human and divine. In Mary, we see a model. Luke writes in these verses that as Jesus grew, Mary treasured all these things in her heart. We heard similar words about Mary right after Jesus was born when she pondered all that had been told her. Mary has a lot of information coming at her, information from angels and shepherds and Elizabeth early on, and then all throughout Jesus' life as he grows. It is like a puzzle. There are many pieces that Mary has, and she's putting all of these pieces together so she can see the bigger picture that is there. And she is treasuring each piece because they each give her and us a glimpse of who Jesus is and what his birth will mean for the world. Jesus is her little boy, yet he is also the Christ, the Messiah. During this Christmas season, we can pay attention to Mary's response and spend some time ourselves pondering and treasuring these events and these words. Mary spends time and mental energy to put all of these pieces together, looking for the big picture. And in this season, I invite you to take some time and do the same. Not surprisingly, this is a little counter to what we see in the world. Already, the stores have put their Christmas merchandise into the 75% off bin and have put out the Valentine's Day candies and cards and toys. While the rest of the world is saying, it's time to get on to the next big thing, in Luke's words, we see the message that it is important to slow down and contemplate our faith. Contemplate what it means for God to take on flesh and mend the relationship broken by sin. As we reflect on this, I have part of a poem that I wanted to share with you this morning. It's called God is a Poet, and it's by Callie Johnson. I believe God is a poet, taking broken, mangled pieces of human existence and giving them flesh, that the soul may see itself reflected. Yes, God is a poet who long ago set the stage for an epic work even Homer can't contest. He inhaled intention and exhaled existence, and the lights are about to rise as step by step, word by word, stanza by stanza, God incarnates. The spirit breathes out intention, and the girl breathes in life, everlasting. And with him comes a lengthy list of side effects. Voices like the sunrise speak joy, peace, goodwill into the blackest void. The untouchables touch, taste, and see. And then learned learn much more. Incarnation. They've been waiting for it, yes. They've spent hundreds of years in eager expectation. And look how terribly pretentiously they miss it. The point. Oh, they get the facts. God in the flesh. They promptly choose infanticide. But it isn't just incarnation of flesh. It is incarnation of word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the Word, the thought, the breath, the expression of God, flesh. Simeon sees it, the expression of the author, salvation prepared in the sight of all people, a light of revelation, and still they miss it. God becomes flesh, and they miss it in their search for flesh becoming God. I believe God is a poet, writing always the same refrain. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory. Amen.